Bhagavatam ki, Shri Shri Nitai Gaura Sundar ki, Shishi Radha Radhanath ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, ISKCON Richards Bay Yatra ki, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the Asama devotees. All glories to the Asama devotees. All glories to the Asama devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone. Thank you for coming to our morning program. We're going to read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam today. We will read from the first canto, chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. And we will read text 16. Very important verse, and it's a very important part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shushushro Shraddhadanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevanat. Translation. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Let us begin again. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. And who is Vasudev? Vasudev is the son of Vasudev. Vasudev is the son of Vasudev. Vasudev is Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, a vivid description of the asuras is given, in which it is said that the asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms, and have no information of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. Can you just ask her to keep the noise down? Yes, so in the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself, according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaved so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Let me just read that last sentence. We should note this. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Let me just read the verse again. Shushrusho shradadhanasya vasudeva kata ruchi siyan mahat sevaya vipra punyatirtha nishevanat. Translation: O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya Deshatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yes. This is a very nice verse from the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, we're right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And just as we find in Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter is anyone of you devotees from Richards Bay, remember the title, the name of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Because, you know, I have been told, and you can take a guess who by, that you're all very knowledgeable and like that, intelligent. Anyway, it's called Contents of the Gita Summarized. That is the name of the second chapter, and that's what it is. All the different subject matters which are going to be discussed throughout the rest of Bhagavad Gita, it's all summarized and introduced there in the second chapter. The first chapter is more or less just setting the scene in a historical sense. What's the situation? Who's who? And what's going on? But the actual message of the Gita, what we need to learn, that's summarized briefly in the second chapter. So in a similar type of way, the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is also summarizing the subject matter of the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam, more or less, basically. And this is one of those verses, and it's a very important one of those verses. Prabhupada begins here, I just noted it, it struck me. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. That is the cause of our conditioned life, means our being in this world and just struggling along in this material world. So, we revolted. I don't know if any of you consider yourselves to be revolutionaries or that type of person. I don't really think so much, looking around. But yes, we were revolutionaries. And we decided, no more. No more. We're rejecting this. And unfortunately, it wasn't a very good idea. But we rejected Krishna. Yes, no more serving Krishna. No more chanting Hare Krishna. I want to sing Bollywood movie songs instead of Hare Krishna. I will sing the theme song from, well, the one I remember the best is, what's it, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. But there are others. What is it? What's it called? Ra One? Is that it? That was, what's his name? Shah Rukh, right? She knows all about it. So that's, you know, I mean, we're devotees generally are sort of peaceful types of people. They're not really so violently inclined. But that's how Prabhupada's put it here. We rejected, we revolted, and we abandoned our place in the kingdom of God, and we came to Richards Bay with the idea that let's just enjoy life. So it's like that. But now, of course, now here we are, we're all here, and we've all got the basic idea, at least, that that is not the right sort of, the right way to live. That rather we should actually be devotees and try to redevelop that relationship with Krishna, which we forgot about. But now we've been reminded. We've been reminded, and now we're making some efforts to move in that direction. So that's very good. That's excellent. And this verse, and there's a sequence of verses here, going step by step through the development of Krishna consciousness and giving in nutshells, just briefly, giving like the essence of how we can progress in Krishna consciousness and really develop as devotees and really develop our relationship with the Lord in very real, tangible terms. And in this way, everything becomes transformed. So this verse then is giving a very important element in the picture of how we can now make progress. Very important element, and if you are listening carefully, then you would have heard how Prabhupada emphasized this point. The verse says, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, means purified devotees. There's particularly meaning very advanced devotees like Srila Prabhupada. So by serving those devotees, great service is done. It's a very important thing. And then the verse goes on to say, by doing that service, one gains an affinity, an attraction for hearing the messages of Vasudeva, of Lord Krishna. Yes, one develops an attraction that we want to hear about the Lord. And let me just read the next verse, which is the next step. It's a step-by-step revelation here. The next verse says, just listen to this, Shakti. You'll like this. Shrinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana ridyantaksto hyabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. I hope you're listening carefully, because this is really extremely important. So the first point in this verse we're focusing on is, if we serve the devotees, particularly the very advanced devotees, but in a general sense you could say, if we serve the devotees, then a particular result comes from that. That you find yourself becoming attracted. That, oh, there's some Krishna conscious program. Oh, I want to go there. I must go. I will go. And I do go. Because there's an attraction. An attraction has arisen from within the heart. And that one wants to hear. And then when one has heard, then one wants to repeat that, to chant. So there's a very important question which arises here, devotees. Listen to this. How is it that when you serve the devotees, an attraction just arises within the heart for hearing about Krishna? I want to hear about Krishna. And no more hearing about nonsense things and, you know, whatever, just worldly things. I want to hear about Krishna. I really want to hear and chant. So how does it happen? What is the sort of the mechanics, the mechanism, what is the procedure? What occurs which from serving the devotees one gets this attraction? Well, the essence of that is, and Prabhupada alludes to it in the purport, is that Prabhupada made the point, I don't know if you remember, that when Krishna sees you are serving his devotees, he becomes even more happy than when you serve him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting? It's very interesting. In that regard, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, not in Bhagavad Gita, but in a book called the Adi Purana, it's one of the other Vedic scriptures, one of the Puranas. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta chaye jana. Mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, te me bhaktatama mataha. I don't know how good your Sanskrit is, or even your Hindi. You know, if you have a moderate understanding of Hindi, you might be able to follow that. Ye me bhakta jana parta. That person who says, I am Krishna's devotee. Na me bhakta is not my devotee, Arjuna. But mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas. That person who says, I am a devotee of Krishna's devotee. Te means they, that person. Te me bhaktatama mataha. That person is my devotee. This is one of the sort of subtleties. It's a little bit of a subtlety in Krishna consciousness. That we please Krishna the most when we serve his devotees, and particularly, I mean, in a sense includes any devotee. It includes Shakti too. Yeah. But particularly, it's really referring to the very special devotees, great devotees, and in our cases, particularly Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Because the relationship between the Lord and his devotees is very deep and very intimate. So, and this is why we and why Srila Prabhupada and Krishna himself for that matter emphasizes accepting a spiritual master, following the instructions of the spiritual master, serving the spiritual master. Even in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 4, verse 34, what does Krishna say? Anyway, he knows everything. But Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadeksyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. That if you want to learn the truth, then approach a spiritual master. Krishna doesn't exactly say, if you want to learn the truth, buy a copy of Bhagavad Gita at CNA and sit down and read it, and then you'll learn the truth and you'll become a devotee. Yeah. When Krishna says, you know, if you want to learn the truth, you want to learn the message of Bhagavad Gita, approach the devotees. Because the devotees can teach you and guide you and train you and correct you and discipline you even. Yes, they can discipline you sometimes. So this is a very important part of Krishna consciousness, that when we serve the devotees, Krishna becomes most pleased. And when Krishna becomes pleased, then Krishna decides, I want to give you the best thing I have available. What does Lord Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, verse 10? You know, when I come next time, I'm going to come next time too. And when I come, you know, I hope you're going to learn some of these things. But in chapter 10, Krishna says, Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvikam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So if someone's really trying to be a devotee and rendering service and chanting Hare Krishna and following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual master, Krishna becomes pleased. And Krishna thinks, right, I want to give this, I want to reciprocate. What's the best thing? What's the best thing I can give this person? And, you know, many people, if you ask them, what would be the best thing that God could give you if he really wanted to give you the best thing he's got to give? Many people would say, lots of money. Or, you know, a new motor car, or, you know, a bigger house, isn't it? People tend to think in these terms, the people in general. But Krishna, in that verse, says that, you know, if you really please me in the best way, so I feel that I want to reciprocate in the best way. And Krishna says, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Not that I just give them lots of money or top marks in matric or something like that. I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Yes, so All these things tie together. These other couple of verses I mentioned from Bhagavad Gita, this verse here, which we're focusing on from Srimad Bhagavatam, the following verse, which we also read, they already fit in together. Yes. So this is what we should do. This is what we should do. We should really seriously try and practice Krishna consciousness, first of all, as servants of Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if any of you saw Srila Prabhupada when he came, 1975. So, yeah. Were you old enough? You were around. You must have been around in 1975.
Yeah, I just entered the world.
Okay. So Prabhupada emphasizes There's two very important, really important points. Prabhupada emphasizes here that how the devotees who are giving Krishna consciousness to the people, to the world, Prabhupada's emphasizing that they're so dear to Krishna. Krishna will give them anything. He'll give them himself. So, therefore someone, particularly someone like Srila Prabhupada, you know, for someone like me or us, it's different. We come to Richards Bay, and there's all these nice devotees to receive us, and feed us, and accommodate us, and just very nice. It's wonderful. It just could hardly be better. When Srila Prabhupada arrived in New York 51 years ago on Thursday, just past, there was nobody. You know, you had Srila Prabhupada, he spoke English. But, well, when I first saw Srila Prabhupada, it was April 72, I mentioned last night. Prabhupada gave a lecture at the university where I was studying. And I was there and I listened. And I'll be quite frank with you, I couldn't catch everything because of his accent. You know, he spoke English, but it wasn't easy until you got a little used to it. Then, okay, then it was fine. But initially, I couldn't follow everything, frankly. And that was the case with so many devotees, maybe even all of them, that at first it was a bit of a sort of cultural type of thing to deal with. So, but when Prabhupada came, speaking, you know, a type of English, and he had 40 rupees with him, which in those days was less than $10. It was about $8 in those days. And what you meant to do with $8? And all he had was the telephone number of the son of a man from Mathura, from India, who had come to America to work and who'd married an American girl, who was just like a typical American girl. And he himself, the son of the man from Mathura, was, you know, more or less now practically, say, 75% at least, like a normal American middle-class man. He was not like a pukka Indian, you know, cultured person at all. Anyway, so Prabhupada said he walked off the ship, through, he got the stamp in his passport, came out, and Prabhupada said, I didn't know whether to turn right or left. And these people had sent someone to pick him up and put him on a bus. So this chappy recognized him, put him on the bus to their place, which was a few hours' drive away. And Prabhupada went to their house, and he got some vegetables because he was cooking for himself. And they said, yeah, you keep your vegetables in the fridge, no problem. So he opened the fridge, it was full of meat. And he had to just push the meat aside to make a place for his vegetables. It was a bit rough. And, yeah, it was a bit rough. And it wasn't like, you know, even like South Africa today. We arrived back from Johannesburg on Friday morning. And as we passed through the toll gate from the airport toward going towards Durban, this girl, African girl, saw us, and she just shouted, she's the one accepting the money there, she shouted, Hare Krishna! So it's not like in those days, practically everyone's heard of Hare Krishna, even if they're, you know, verkrumpte Afrikaners, that they've heard of Hare Krishna. It was just like totally foreign. Totally foreign. And Prabhupada struggled, at least for the, I mean, he struggled the whole time, actually. But at least for the first year, he struggled alone. He struggled alone. From when he arrived, September, till, you know, when they established, they registered ISKCON. That was July 66. So it was 10 months. And a lot of the time he didn't know what he was going to do or what could happen. It's a long story. You should read the Leelamrita if you haven't done already. A very amazing description of the efforts Prabhupada went through to establish Krishna consciousness. And even he came here, you know, and it was apartheid, like real apartheid, 1975. It was a bit rough. You know, the devotees said, who were there at the time, I wasn't here at the time, I was in England, but the devotees said that when Prabhupada came out of the airport in Johannesburg, and so the devotees had gathered there, not many, like half a dozen or so. Or was it? Or maybe in Durban. Was it Lubota? Anyway, whichever airport it was. And there's these Afrikaner policemen around, you know, staunch Afrikaners. And they're these white young devotees bowing down in front of the Indian Swami. It was like, you know, what happened? So you see, because Prabhupada made such an effort to spread the glories of the Lord and introduce people to the Lord and the process of Krishna consciousness, Krishna really appreciated. He really, you know, he already appreciated Prabhupada from before he came to the West. But when Prabhupada made that effort in this totally different cultural environment, dealing with these weird, weird people, the hippies, now even compared to like your white middle class American, the hippies were, oh, very strange. So Prabhupada made that effort, and as a result, he got unlimited mercy from Krishna. Unlimited. So one thing we should take from that is that we should appreciate the devotees who are spreading Krishna consciousness and try and serve them, knowing that Krishna will recognize that and appreciate that we are doing that. But then the second thing, and it's a very, very important thing, is we should try and do it, means spread Krishna consciousness ourselves. It's one thing to have a nice little altar room and offer arati every day and chant and offer our food. That's very nice, extremely nice and extremely important. But if we try to make a little bit of that effort to extend ourselves a bit, to give people Krishna consciousness, then Krishna notes you. You know, do you have a little black book that you write things in? Like a diary or... No, you don't do that. Because, you know, Krishna has a black book. It's not just a little one like a diary, it's a big one. And Krishna's watching. He's watching. He's really watching. And he has extremely good eyesight. Krishna doesn't need glasses or binoculars. Krishna sees exactly what's going on, even within us. But when Krishna sees that we're making some effort to give people his message, oh, Krishna becomes very pleased. And he writes your name down in his little black book. And that's it. When your name's in his book, you know, because he refers to the book regularly. Richards Bay, what's going on in Richards Bay? Let me see. Who are my people in Richards Bay? Ah, okay. Then he sees the list. There's Ashok and Kavita. Ah, yes, Rashika's there, and so on, and whoever else, and Shakti's there, maybe. Seriously, I mean, it's a little light-hearted mood we're saying these things, but actually it's very serious. It's very serious, and it's very real. Once your name is in Krishna's black book, oh, that's it. You're on your way back to Godhead. So like here in Richards Bay, there's so many nice people. There's all sorts of people. And you'd really be surprised if you try and make a little effort to present Krishna consciousness to people that you meet here and there. Of course, some of them, you know, they won't be interested and that sort of thing. But you'd be surprised how many people you'll meet, and even people oftentimes who you just wouldn't expect that they could possibly become interested in something like this, but they become very interested. Very interested. You know, many times when devotees are out distributing books in the streets and just meeting people face to face in the main street or in the shopping mall, many times you find some, you know, different type of person, really different type of person, but then you offer them a book and they take it and they say, "Oh, I've been looking for this all my life. I've been looking for this for years." Many people, so many people. Because it's a fact that life in this world is not easy. And people are struggling in this world. And so many of them know that I'm struggling. And, you know, I'm not really having a good time. Many of them know. And despite the advertising industry, which tries to portray material life as being very nice so they can get your money, despite that, material life is not very nice. You know, we were driving, I don't know if you were there, but anyway, we were driving from Ermelo to Johannesburg a few years ago. Yeah, a few years ago. And we drove through Bethal. It's just a country town up there. And as we're driving out, we came past a big billboard, advertising board. Really massive, massive, long one. Advertising a brand of tractor called John Deere. They're green tractors. And there's this picture of the tractor plowing the land. But by the tractor was, would you believe, this young lady, sort of early 20s, with hardly any clothes on, Hare Krishna, hanging over the tractor. Like, wow, this tractor is just so wonderful. Really? And it's a tractor. And as we're driving past, we saw on the opposite side of the road a very typical elderly Boer farmer, Afrikaner from the Platteland or whatever they call it, with shorts on, you know, with a hat on, with a Nissan Bucky, you know, that type. And he's looking at this billboard. And I thought, this man is thinking, even though he's like probably well into his 60s or maybe more, he's thinking, well, if I buy one of these they're all going to come running after me. I'll have to fight them off. And so, you know, the advertising industry, we must say, it's terrible, actually. They try to portray material life as being so wonderful. Well, if you just buy our product. Oh. So, but the material world is not like that. It's just not like how it is presented in the advertisements. It just isn't. So material life is difficult. And many people have some at least basic awareness of that. And they have some interest in trying to find some alternative. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course, you know, some they're just kind of unpleasant because they're frustrated. But many, you know, they're a little open-minded. Let me tell you a little story. Let me close by telling you a little story about some of our devotees who were distributing books in America. They were traveling around America. They were based in Detroit, which is in Michigan State. And in America, the cars on the number plate, along with the number, it has the name of the state. That's the way they do it. So these devotees, they're traveling around, distributing books in different cities. One day they were distributing books in some city, some other part of the country. And while they were distributing books, they didn't know it, but some criminals robbed a bank, like a block or a couple of blocks away, something like that. And those criminals escaped in a van which was identical to the van the devotees had. Even the number plate said Michigan. Yeah, the devotees didn't know. And that night the devotees were sleeping in the van, sort of camper van type of thing, in a holiday, like a little holiday camp, caravan park type of place. They're there in the van. In the middle of the night, suddenly they're woken by the sounds of sirens, the sound of a helicopter circling above them. And they looked out, the van, there are all these police vehicles surrounding them with the lights pointed on their van. What is this? So the devotees got out. And the police, big, serious, like a real policeman. Unfortunately, we don't have any in South Africa. A lot of these American policemen, they're like real policemen. This guy's big, big, powerful man, and, you know, really kind of aggressive. Get out of there! We know who you are. And all these police have machine guns and everything. You robbed the bank, didn't you? We got you. And the Dari said, no, no, we're Hare Krishna devotees. We're distributing our books. And the chief policeman with a few of the others came down. What do you mean you're Hare Krishnas? Come on, you robbed the bank. No, no, we're Hare Krishnas. And they handed the man a Bhagavad Gita. See, we're distributing the book. See, we're Hare Krishnas. See, we're Hare Krishnas. And this chief policeman, he said, what? No, you're not really. You're Hare Krishnas? Yes, yes, we're Hare Krishnas. And he walked right up to the devotee, the lead, the head of the party, like practically, literally, right on top of him. And this man is big. He's looking down at the devotee. And the devotee's looking at him. And the man said, you are Hare Krishnas? Yes, yes. And the man said, the policeman said, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Because he was a devotee. And you never know. You just never know. Because anyone can become a devotee. Yeah. So like this, two things we can take from this. We should serve the devotees nicely. And that includes all the devotees. But particularly Srila Prabhupada and you know, those like sort of intimate, closest servants of Prabhupada. We really need to do that because they are dear to Krishna, and when we serve them, Krishna appreciates us and he puts our name in his book. And then we should try and do that ourselves. Give people Krishna consciousness. And if you do, if you get into it, then you'll find it's an amazing experience. Sometimes it's not so easy, but many times it is just an amazing experience. And when you see the people becoming devotees, that's really wonderful. That's really wonderful. So let's do it. Let's develop ISKCON Richards Bay. And let's finish the temple. You know, you're so lucky, it's amazing. Even in a place like Tongat, like, well, Stanga, but Tongat, where the movement has been in active for many years, and really active. I remember when I first arrived in January 1980, the first program I attended was Rath Yatra in Tongat. I don't know if any of you were there. It was like maybe February 1980. Big Rath Yatra. The movement's been developed there. There are many devotees. When they have their Namahata weekly program, they get 50, 60 devotees as just the normal on a quiet evening. But they don't have a facility like what you have. Of course, it needs to be completed, but sure, that's really some special mercy. I think Krishna's thinking that, you know, these Richards Bay devotees, let's give them a chance to do something substantial. Because when you have that place operational, then, you know, it's going to really... Things are just going to boom. Krishna consciousness is just going to expand geometrically. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Amen. And again, any comments or questions? Shakti? Any comment? Anyone? A question? And try to chant regularly. I don't know how many of you are chanting regularly or how many are chanting 16 rounds. I know you have to make a bit of an effort to chant 16 rounds. It takes a little getting used to. But once you get used to it, oh, it's nectar. It's just so wonderful. Every morning you'll be thinking, wow, I want to get up and chant. Oh, yeah. To prepare your consciousness for the day and for working and, you know, to be, so you'll be much more able to deal with things during the day. So try to chant seriously and you'll be the gainers. Is that okay, Shakti? Will you chant? How old are you?
Seven.
Okay. And Priya, how old are you?
11.
Okay. See, Shakti, you know, maybe she's a bit young. But Priya, she can chant around today. Is that okay? I'll check next time I come. Okay.
Sometimes there's a general feeling, not with all of you, is some that, because Richard's Bay is so far from the mainstream temple, they kind of feel like isolated here. But just I'm going to give quite a few words, especially this last part of your lecture, encouraging and to develop it.
Well, okay. You know, I'll tell you one thing, you're not as isolated as the devotees in Krasnoyarsk, Siberia, Russia. You want to be isolated. Now you've got to drive how many kilometers to Stanga? 100, is it, or something? There, you know, you want to drive to the next city, Novosibirsk. You've got to drive like 1,000 kilometers over these crazy roads, my God. Not fit for use by human beings. Yeah, so, but anyway, but there, I tell you what, in Krasnoyarsk, of course it's a city. It's not like, you know, a relatively smaller place like Richards Bay, it's a city. But there are just hundreds of devotees. And really nice temple, which is just too small, because when they have a festival, we had a festival when I was there a few weeks ago. We had to hire a hall like, I'd say, six times the size of the temple where we were. And it was packed. It was packed with at least 1,000 devotees. And real devotees, you know, serious devotees, practitioners. So, but okay, you know, there's an element of isolation. To some degree, it's a fact. You know, I'd say two things about that. I'd say one, from time to time, maybe once a month or, you know, whatever, from time to time, make a little expedition, gather some devotees, go down to Phoenix at least on Sunday, attend a bigger Sunday program and get more association or even sometimes to chats with them. I think it's like, even though it will cost money, but it's an investment. Money's not there to be looked at. It's to be used to get value for your life. So, you know, money is as valuable as how it's invested, really. Yeah. So it's an investment. And then the other thing I'd say is that invite devotees. Yeah. Invite devotees. And, you know, there's this, what's his name? Akinchana Prabhu. He was in Phoenix for a few weeks. Now he's from India. He's what we call a sannyas candidate. He's not a sannyasi. He hasn't been given the renounced order of life, that he will, after 1 or 2 or 3 years, something like that, but to become a candidate, to be accepted, that all right, you can take sannyas after a little while. We'll watch you, but if you do okay, then you can take sannyas. Now, you've got to have it together, pretty much. And you've got to be able to present Krishna consciousness, particularly. So he's there. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, but maybe you need to be better connected with the authority structure, the senior devotees, so that when someone like him, because these types of people come from time to time, when someone like him comes along, then they think, yes, not only will we send him to Tongat and Peter Maritzburg and, you know, wherever else, but, oh yes, we'll send him to Richards Bay. So yeah, I think it'd be good to go out sometimes, from time to time, and then from time to time, well, we'll strengthen the connection with the KZN regional organizational structure, and then get devotees to visit on a regular basis. When I go back, I'll be back at the temple Radharadnath tonight. I'll tell Swarup Damodar Prabhu is what we call the regional secretary. He's overseeing the whole of KZN. So we'll tell him he must come here, you know, on a regular basis. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. And if you're not too strongly opposed, I might come from time to time. You know, I have one of these extraordinary schedules, I must say. I won't even tell you, but it's extraordinary. But I'll come from time to time, if you don't mind. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.